The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the MDN studio. So obviously for Michigan, bye week, which means UFER Classic here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Tomorrow at noon, you will hear the 1976 Michigan Navy game with Bob UFER on the call. So you'll get your Michigan fix. If you are looking for, like I do, like Ira does, like many college football fans do, if you're just looking for really, really interesting games to watch, you know, other than or listen to outside of Michigan, there are a few that I'm going to be paying really close attention to. I guess one that has to do with right here in Michigan is Eastern Michigan at Illinois. Really curious to see, obviously, Brandon Peters. Can he keep it up? He's gotten off to a great start to the season. And Eastern has been competitive with teams that are seemingly on their level, even though they might be a conference. Oh, hell, you see what they did to Purdue last year.
I think they actually still have, over the last 2 years, more Big Ten wins than Illinois does.
So it should be very interesting. Iowa at Iowa State is always an interesting one, although Iowa, I believe, is one of the last four. So that is one.
Is game day in Iowa City or Iowa wherever the game is?
I think
game day might be there.
You do get some Big Ten action, Ohio State at Indiana. So, you know, a Big Ten affair. Ohio State should win this one going away. But at times we've seen Indiana just a couple of years ago, right? So Indiana give Ohio State a go. But one of the most interesting ones to me outside.
Yeah, they'll be in Ames. Game day will be in Ames.
Yeah, it tells you what kind of week it is as far as I'm concerned. Sorry to say it. No offense, Iowa.
Sorry, Mrs. Clark.
No offense. I'm sorry, but give me a break. You got Pitt, Penn State, in there as well. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how Penn State comes out. But the one that I am really intrigued by, Florida State at Virginia. Now, Bronco Mendenhall, has Virginia on the, you know, on the climb, on the rise. And meanwhile, if you look over at Florida State, you know, they lose that game to Boise. They barely edged a Louisiana Monroe. And folks in Tallahassee, I don't know how much you've been reading the headlines, Mr. Weintraub, but folks in Tallahassee are up in arms. They are, you know, ready for a change now. I mean, this is only year. Is this year two? Yeah, year two of the Willie Taggart era, and they're ready to cut bait based on how things are going now. Willie Taggart, in response to the defensive woes, went out and hired Jim Leavitt, you know, formerly of USF, formerly of Colorado.
I believe they worked together on one of Jim Harbaugh's staffs. I'm just not sure where. It might have been San Francisco, but I actually believe they worked together on a Jim Harbaugh staff.
Have to look it up. Formerly of USF, the head coach there. You remember he got, he got accused and ultimately fired for, physical contact with a player. I'll say he hit a player. Anyway, he resurfaced in a couple of college jobs. He was at Colorado, helped that defense turn around. He was at Oregon and, thought he was going to get that head coaching job when he didn't. Oregon made him one of the highest paid coordinators in the country just to keep him because he was on his way out. When they hired Cristobal, Jim Leavitt was like, peace. They said, how about we give you about $1.7 million or somewhere along those lines. At the time, one of the highest paid coordinators in the country, the defensive coordinator at Oregon. Has Oregon ever really been synonymous with defense? At any rate, he got bought out recently for $2.5 million. Good gig if you can get it. Yeah, pay me $2.5 million to go away. And he So now, and I know he worked with, he was on Jim's staff with the 49ers, wasn't he? Wasn't he on Jim's staff with the 49ers? Levitt, have to look at his history. At any rate,
that's why I think where they overlapped.
And so Willie Taggart just hired him as an analyst, as a defensive analyst, to try to help them get some things in order down there in Tallahassee, quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because if you're looking for,
yeah, he was the linebackers coach for the Niners from 2011 to 2014.
Gotcha. All right, there you go. If you're talking about coaches, on I started out the season talking about Clay Helton, and I still feel like Clay Helton is living on borrowed time. Now, you know, JT Daniels goes down, his young freshman comes in there and comes out with an outstanding performance. If they can have a really successful season, if they can be the team that rises to the top in the Pac-12, well, maybe he'll get a stay of execution. But, you know, it's a new – Lynn Swann resigned recently. I felt like that was some cover for Clay Helton when he was there. Not there any longer. So, you know, he is one that I think is still living on borrowed time, but not maybe as much right now. If you're using the temperature in their college towns right now, whose seat is hotter than Willie Taggart's? And that's quickly being gained on by Jeremy Pruitt in Knoxville, Tennessee. Because, man, I mean, they come out, they lose to Georgia State. Did you see any of the BYU game?
Just like a couple of minutes.
It was look, Ira, I mean, BYU was done. BYU was done. I mean, there were less than 30 seconds left. You know, BYU, I believe they were out of timeouts. And they were on like their own 20. And how a guy is left open running, you know, 40 yards down the field for BYU is beyond me. How that happens when you're in an obvious prevent situation and you just let a guy go. BYU gets in the field goal range in the waning moments, kicks the field goal. They go into overtime. Tennessee loses in overtime to horrific home losses, at both losses at home. Georgia State, and then this come from behind improbable victory by BYU that occurred at home for Tennessee as well. And so now the natives are restless there too, because he was supposed to turn things around. So those two teams, when it comes to the hot seat, those will be two teams to watch very, very closely as the year unfolds to see how they perform. And I wonder if you can really turn either around with where they are at this point.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free. See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You know, we'll see. Let's go to the phones, 734-998-1050, and talk to in Boston? We're going out to Beantown?
Hey.
Derek, how you doing this morning?
You are. How are you? Good morning.
Doing great.
So I've been wanting to call in all week, and I just haven't had the time, but I've been listening. And it didn't matter to me whether they won the Army game or not. I left that game completely demoralized and pessimistic that there had been an actual change in the offensive philosophy, and more importantly, I am utterly convinced that either in the second half, Harbaugh either called the plays or directed Gattis to call a pass or a run. And I have never seen in my life a team that I think the game was either tied or within 7 points, where it runs the ball 15 straight times. And I watched the press conferences this week and was astonished that in Gattis's press conference, none of the reporters asked, you know, why the 15 runs in a row? You know, did Jim take over play calling? Obviously, I know how he'd answer that, but, you know, why all of a sudden the need to be very, very conservative? I'm curious as to your take on this, because it to me, it's the dispositive question, and it hasn't been asked. And if they haven't grown, and, you know, for example, I'm going to the Wisconsin game, all right? If they're up by a touchdown or two touchdowns in the second half, which looks unlikely, but if they are, they need to keep throwing the ball. Do you think there's an actual change, or this is just, you know, more reversion to the what it's been?
Yes, I do think there's been a change. He actually did address that, and it wasn't 15 straight runs. You know, was it 11? I think it was 11 straight runs over a couple of series in the second half. He did address that. You know, the series where most of those consecutive runs took place, it's late in the fourth quarter. It's a tie game. You know, agree or disagree with the strategy, but there was a method to the madness. He said, you know, he was looking at that point to obviously advance down the field to win the game, but to win it on their own terms, meaning he wanted to bleed clock too. That they were making a concerted effort to keep the clock moving, to bleed the clock, to either exhaust the time or to give Army the football back in a situation that is extremely uncomfortable to them. Obviously, it didn't work out that way. But if you recall, when we talked about what the run pass ratio might look like in this game, that, you know, speculated that it would skew more towards run as a strategy to balance the time of possession disparity, that was going to happen. It was going to be in favor of Army. The question was, at least as far as that discussion goes, is how big was the disparity going to be? Because they were, last year was like 38 minutes to 22, right? So would it be that great? Or could you manage it better? And a way to manage that would be to run the football more in that particular instance. Now, here's one of the things that I haven't gone back to do. I haven't gone back to look at to see how many RPOs were in that sequence. Because if you listen to our discussion with Al Borges, he said, you know, one of the things that you got to realize when you are running, when you're running RPOs is that you have less control over the run pass ratio, because it's really dictated by the defense. So if they are playing you to run, if they're telling you, the defense is telling you to run the football, that's where the play goes, as opposed to a called run or a called pass. That's not what an RPO is. So I don't know how many of those in that sequence were RPOs, but what I can say is if you look at the entire game on balance and you're looking at the run pass ratio, and that the run pass ratio tells you that it's more of the same, I think you are discounting how RPOs affect that. And their RPO package was actually expanded this week. I do think that the absence of quarterback run in this in last week's game, part of it was less QB bluffs. The other part of it, I mean, you had some misreads in there. You did. And frankly, Derek, I don't know how you don't come away from that game talking about how many missed opportunities in the passing game that they have. How different would you feel if they hit the wheel, if they hit that wheel route to Ronnie Bell? How different would you feel if they hit the post route to to Nico Collins in overtime. You also had, you had some other misses. You had some other drops. You obviously had the three turnovers. All of these things go together. How different would you feel if on that? So let's look at the Van Sumeren fumble. I mean, that was a run, right? Skewed so that, and it helped skew. It was an RPO. It was a run. But if you look at it, heavy box, you got eight guys down in there. You got really, really soft corners. I mean, huge cushion. And the receiver to the boundary is open. So if you pull there and throw a pass, you know, that's what looks like I said, more of the same. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you got to look in the play and say, well, that should have been a pass there. Would have added, you know, would have taken them, maybe taken the turnover off the board, added to the pass totals, kept the drive going. So they got a lot of work to do. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sit here and make it sound like I'm saying that they are everything is okay. They got a lot to work on. Got to take better care of the football. Got to get some of these reads down better. Hope the reps help with that. Pitch and catch, whether it's some of the throws being on target or catching the balls when they get there, that has to be better. Miss some holes in the running game. There was a lot left on the football field, man. So they got time to work on it. And you get some injured guys back. So there's that too. All right. We got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the Tick.